In the effort of transparency and fairness, some of our group members who may or may not be participating in this episode work for Tapas and Funimation. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are their own and do not represent the views and opinions of their employers. Additionally, any sponsorship BL Garden or FujoCon receives from either organization was handled by our PR rep, and our members with industry ties had no role in soliciting or obtaining that sponsorship. Now on to the podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 801 Reviewed. I'm your host, Izora, and I'm here with my co-host today,
Kendra.
And today we'll be discussing the Knight Runner series by author Lynn Fluellen. The Knight Runner series starts with the book Luck in the Shadows. It is a MM romance novel, at least according to Goodreads. I would beg to argue that it's actually more of a high fantasy with gay characters in it, rather than just calling it MM romance. But it's in the category on Goodreads, so I'm going to include it. You can buy this series in print online. You can also get the ebooks. You can get an audiobook from Audacity or wherever audiobooks are sold.
You can also generally get them through your local library system, or at least through interlibrary loan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It is by Bantam Books. And so me and Kendra wanted to give a mini-sode review of Knight Runner because we've both read the series and we think it doesn't get enough love. So we're making a mini-series.
Yeah.
Yes. I love this series. It is actually my favorite book series ever. Like, out of everything. Not just MM Romance.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. High praise.
Yeah. I do think it's a very good series. Yes.
Yes. So, the storyline that, without spoilers, it's mostly just the storyline of the first part of the first book. Because I don't want to give you any spoilers for the rest of the book. It's actually a 7-book series. Each books are quite long. It is a high fantasy series. I believe the first book is about 500 pages. So think Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix size. That's generally how I measure my books. I'm like, okay, which Harry Potter book is it?
Yeah, right.
So the storyline is, it takes place with Alec of Cary. Alec is a young hunter trapper in a country called Mycena, and he has been basically imprisoned for treason and for trespassing, and he doesn't quite know what's going on. He and his father have always been secluded from the rest of the world. His father recently passed, and so now he's all alone. In prison, he ends up meeting a bard, or so he says, named Rowan Silverleaf, who proceeds to act all flamboyant and ridiculous and huffy and a little crazy. But then when they're alone in the cell, he really does help. He makes sure, he asks what's really going on, and he kind of loses his flamboyant attitude. Turns out that with the help of who went by Rowan Silverleaf, his real name is actually Saragul, they end up escaping out of the jail and heading towards Saragul's home city of Skala. Saragul has a couple of things that he has to do before then, which he ends up eliciting Alec's help. And other things go awry, especially since the fact that Saragul turns out to be more of a spy for the crown. He's ending up in this Mycena. He's looking at certain people because there have been rumors about what they've been up to, and he basically takes Alec as an apprentice in this whole spy and espionage business that he's involved in. He ends up stealing something that he probably shouldn't, and trouble ensues. And that's mostly what the storyline is. The storyline is there's a lot more involved. There are necromancers, there are wizards, there's a matriarchal society, there are zombies at one point. The undead, there are dragons, basically anything you can think of in a fantasy story. It's pretty much got everything you're looking for.
Yeah.
I I like the fact that Skala, which is the home country of Saragul, is actually matriarchal. They only allow queens on the throne. Only women can inherit, due to the fact that the kingdom, there was a prophecy back in the day that said, as long as a queen sits on the throne, Skala will never fall to enemy hands, which is very similar to the prophecy on the English castles, where if the Buckingham Palace still has ravens, and so they end up clipping the ravens' wings in England to keep the, I think it's Buckingham Palace. But they end up clipping the ravens' wings to keep them at the castle so that England will never fall to foreign hands. And I'm like, I don't think that's a worry anymore. But at this point, it's tradition. And it's sort of the same for them. They always let the queens inherit.
Yeah. I'd say that's something that I really liked about the series as well, because it sort of lends itself to have, like, a lot of strong female characters. Mm-hmm. With, yeah, women being the main force of the military and stuff in this country. And
yeah, Becca Cavish in particular is just a fantastic character.
Yeah.
That's one thing. Good. Even though the women are the side characters and the main characters are male, I don't feel like the women are at detriment for that. They are very much some of my favorite characters in the entire series.
Yeah. Always good.
So, as general, we tend to give some trigger warnings here for those who would just nope right out of this series. There is a bit of an age gap. Mm. It's a little hard to explain because there's way more going on than just age, but I'll just leave it at that. There's an age gap.
Yeah, between... there's a little bit of an age gap.
sort of, kind of, maybe an age gap. It's strange. It's strange. You'd have to read it. I can't give you anything more without spoiling it.
Yeah. Age shenanigans?
Age shenanigans.
Yeah. There we go. Is that a good way to put that?
Yes.
Cool.
I would say it's pretty gory. There are some parts that are like, whew.
Yeah, there's like some torture in some of the books and some gory murders at times. And
I would, there's also drinking in some of the books.
Hmm.
I don't think they have an age of drinking, but I guess they're underage. They're under 21. For American audiences.
Since the story sort of takes place in the general fantasy. Like ye old time, like, yeah, fantasy, ye old times. Yeah, I guess everybody drinks alcohol.
Yeah, I don't know how that really works.
Drinking water or being bad or something. I don't know.
Yes.
But, yeah, so.
I would, yeah, like you said, the torture. I don't think there's anything else, really, that I can think of. There's some dubious consent between a heterosexual moment in the second book with the sorceress at the Oreska. There's some dubious consent that time, I would definitely say, but it's not something looked upon as good. But there's no dubious consent between the main characters.
Yeah.
At any point in time. I would also say, I would beg to say that there was a power difference, but it was resolved before the relationship ever took place.
Yeah.
Which is why I would also call this a slow burn. That would be the next thing I would say is painful slow burn.
Yeah.
You aren't going to see anything remotely romantic until the second book.
Yeah. And even then, there is no explicit content in the entire series. There are implied sex scenes, but yeah, nothing explicit.
Yeah, it leads up everything up until the moment where clothes come off, you get a see. But the moment clothes might be coming off, it's like shut the door.
Yeah.
Unless you read the side book, Glimpses, that she wrote.
Oh, yeah. I never ended up reading that, but yes, I did hear that there were explicit scenes in that one.
Yes, there are.
Wow.
But that's actually the only time you could get an explicit scene is reading the side book Glimpses. Other than that, the series is pretty inexplicit with the sex scenes entirely. There's a lot of nudity, though, that doesn't involve sex.
Yeah.
People are naked all the time, I feel like.
Yeah, I do sort of remember that, yeah.
Yeah, and it's nothing to do with sex. It's mostly like, I was changed into a creature and now I'm naked, or I have to go do this ceremony and it has to be naked, and it's not sexual at all. It's just, yeah. They end up naked.
Yeah.
I think that would be it for the trigger warnings. Themes, I would say it has themes of growing up, learning about the world. I would say that student-teacher theme at a point in time, but then also I would say that it's more like best friends.
Hmm.
I would say it changes into that.
Yeah, pretty early on.
Mm-hmm.
Political intrigue, I think, would be one.
Very much, yeah.
Yeah, in the later books, that's a pretty heavy theme. I mean, it's definitely fantasy and adventure, and I think there's sort of elements of mystery sort of in some of the later books, which is pretty fun. Yeah. I like mysteries. So.
Yes. I really like, magic, just in general, those type of themes. I would also say that this book, and you and I have talked about this, that I would consider this more fantasy and less romance.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
They still categorize it on different platforms as an MM romance, but I would even argue, because that this was an older series, that it was just categorized into that because of the time.
Yeah, I guess, because it was originally published in, like, 1992 or something like that, right? Or 95, or...
96.
96. That was close.
Yeah. And back then, I think that's honestly why this series isn't talked about.
It is an older series.
Yeah. I feel like at the time that it was written, maybe people weren't that into MM romance. I feel like if it was written today, there would be more people taking notice.
Yeah.
The author actually was invited to YaoiCon back in 2010, back when YaoiCon was a thing.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Alas.
I really wish I had gone. I couldn't have in 2010. I was in college and crazy. But they had Glenn Hale and they had Lynn Fluellen there that year.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Man, I wish I had been able to go too. I was also in college at the time. I had other things going on.
Yes, it was a time and I wish I had been there. I wish I could have been a fly on the wall.
In 2010, I also wouldn't have read those series at that, or wouldn't have had read those two authors at that point in time, so.
No.
Alas.
You actually turned me on to this series, because it was in my Goodreads to read.
Yeah.
And you had said, no, I read that, it was good, and then I proceeded to read all of them.
Oh, good! Yeah! Yeah, I became very familiar with the guy in charge of, like, the interlibrary loans in my area, so I was getting all seven of them through interlibrary loans at the time.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm like, I had his number in my phone, and like, hey, I need to renew this. Can you get it renewed for me? Anyway.
I love that.
Yeah, pretty good.
So what do you like about this series so much?
Okay, so I guess, at its base, I guess, I like that it had sort of MM romance, since that's something I'm into. And I guess I also enjoyed the fact that there were a lot of strong female characters. I always look for that in things, being someone who identifies as female. That's sort of important for me generally. And then I also really like the fantasy aspect, I guess, because it felt more to me like a fantasy adventure than like an MM romance. I actually, I think what I mainly liked about it was just sort of the world building, the fantasy, the adventures they go on, and sort of the mystery aspect to a lot of it, and the political intrigues I thought was really fun. So I thought the pacing was really good throughout the series, and the characters were good and relatable and pretty solid. And
I agree with you. I really like the world build. I honestly think that this is one of my favorite worlds. I like how she One of my biggest problems with fantasy, when you pick it up, especially high fantasy, you need like a glossary to read it. You need to quite be referring back to the
like
terms.
Lord of the Rings. Or...
Yes. Or, God forbid, like you were saying earlier, Dune. Dune is one of those series.
Google had suggested Dune.
Dune is such a hard, and it doesn't explain anything. It just, you just go in and you have to, you're expected to learn all these things on the fly, and you're like, I don't even know where I am. I really appreciate that she did this book in such a way that we're from Alec's perspective, and so we get to learn about the rest of the world that he's never really been a part of through him, and it sort of eases you into all the lore. You know, he has to learn about the four gods, even though he kind of knows about them. He doesn't really know about them. And so Saragul explains, you know, oh, the four, you mostly know about Dalna, who does this, but you don't know about Sokor or Ilior. And so we kind of learn through Alec, which makes it easier and not so, like, overwhelming.
Oh, definitely.
I really like how she writes the simplicity of the characters too. One of my favorite scenes in the fifth book, most authors I feel like would take the opportunity for the drama of it all to what ends up happening is Saragul's kind of like a thief and a rogue sort of type character, and in order to get information on this one noble, they have to break into his house, but they also know this noble personally, so if he sees them, he'll recognize them and know who they are. So they're at a kind of an impasse where Alec is like, oh no, if we break into his house and he sees us. And most people would then proceed to make this Ocean's 11 type scheme. But Lynn Fluellen doesn't. She goes, the simplest thing, I'm going to choose the simplest option. And so Saragul, he just sort of sits with Alec and he's like, no, we'll just get drunk. One of us will get drunk and then we'll be asked to stay. And then I'll loot him while you're passed out on the bed. And he's like, why do I have to be the one who's drunk? But it's true. I mean, that's the easiest way to to rob your friend, I guess, is just to get drunk at their house and prey upon their kindness. And I really like how she does that. And it's not the first time she does it. It's just one of the many times that I feel like Saragul as a character takes the simplest, most obvious option. The option that a lot of times when I read books, I'm like, well, why didn't they just do this?
You know, right.
Harry Potter's the worst for that, because I'm like, well, why didn't they just call the ministry and tell them there's a basilisk in the castle? Like, where were the wizards back then? I love that she does that with her series. It quits me being angry. Like, why didn't they take the easy out? Why didn't they just double check?
Why didn't you just use common sense?
Exactly. I really like that about her work. And again, the female characters are a must. I love Clea. Princess Clea is one of my favorite characters in the entire series. Her and Becca are just so good. What would you say would have made this even better?
I guess, I don't know. Like, I really enjoyed the series as it was. I guess the only thing I could think of was... I mean, I'm always down for, like, sex scenes, you know, in the story.
That's what I was gonna say.
It was like, it would have been cool to, like, have this in there, but also that, I guess it didn't really take away anything for me from the series. Like, I still enjoyed the series, even without the explicit content in it. So, yeah. I guess there is enough other things in there for me, so.
And it doesn't really focus on that entirely. That's not a huge motivation of the characters. So I don't feel cheated by not getting them, but I do like them. So I'm like, if you just just a little sexy.
Like, it would have been nice. Like, you could have just put it in there instead of just the fade out, but you know, whatever. Okay. Alas.
I also think there's a bit of a disconnect between the third and the fourth book because there's a long period of time where she didn't write. So the third book is Traitor's Moon, and then it's followed by The Shadow Returns. The Shadow Returns is written years after Traitor's Moon. And some of the details, just tiny little details, are different between the series. Like, the lanterns and the House of Lights are now meaning different things. That's another thing I like about this series is it's very sex positive. Like, no one's shamed for their kinks. Like that.
Yeah.
A world where women rule and no one's shamed for their sexual preferences. That's the world I want. and it has wizards. Hell yes.
Yeah, right.
Some of the details are different. The thing that, there was a building that was going to be named something and then they changed its name between the third and the fourth book.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Just little things like that. Also, the audiobook readers change, which always annoys me, but they're both very good in their own right, but I like to have one reader for the whole series. So if you're listening to the audiobooks, the first three are the same reader, and then the last ones are the same reader, but it's too different between the time period. I guess after that many years, they couldn't get the same guy. I don't know. That would have made it better. Those are the only things.
Yeah, I admit I didn't notice the details changing, but I guess there are enough other things for me in there that...
They're so small that unless you read it, like, hyper-close I did, you won't pick them up.
Yeah.
It's so small.
Yeah.
But there is a tiny discrepancy.
Yes.
Also, I would like a TV series, please. That would make it better.
So good. I read on Wikipedia, apparently at one point, there was a movie option for the first two books, but I guess it got dropped.
Oh, that'd be perfect.
But,
just the first two. Even if you don't read the rest of them, just the first two. The second book is my favorite in the entire series.
I would say that's the same for me. I really enjoyed the second book in the series. And also, the main story arc... let's see how to say this. I guess, yeah, the first and second book have the same story arc also. Or, yeah, they're sort of parts one and two of the same story arc.
Yeah. Now, there are some things, like, past that hasn't been revealed by the end of the second. But I feel like if you want a good ending and don't want to read all seven, I feel like the second one is a good one to end on. But I say read all seven.
Yes, I would say all seven are worth the read. They all have their own things to offer, and you do get more into the lore and the history and stuff throughout the seven books.
Or is it six? It might be six.
No, it's seven. I made sure to write them down. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Good. I also really like Cast of Souls. That's my next favorite. Because it's got a mystery in it.
Yeah.
I liked that one. And a plague, so if you want something during the pandemic.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you can relate a little bit. Yeah. Oh, yeah, and I think it was the last one, right? The Shards of Time that had the sort of, like, ghost sort of mystery thing in it. Yeah, it was sort of fun.
Yeah, the Shards of Time, that takes place in Linamar, I think, or, like, the outskirts of it, yeah.
Yeah, like, on an island desert, or... a privately owned island or something like that. Yeah. It's like, how did the people get murdered in a locked room?
Like, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, ooh, mystery. Yay.
Who doesn't like an anti-hero sort of archetype where he steals for the rich and gives to the poor kind of character? I love that.
That's good. Yeah. I always really liked Alec too. Just sort of learning thing as you go.
He's a good, honest character. Yeah. Like, he is the Gryffindor type character who does what's right.
Yeah. I sort of gravitate toward those characters. So. Yeah. Yeah.
The only other thing this author has really written is the prequel to this series about the first queen of Skala, Tamir, which is the Tamir trilogy. I haven't read it, but it doesn't take place in the same time period. It's actually an earlier time period for this world, but I've heard good things about it. So that's another series.
Yeah.
If you end up reading this and liking it and wanting to know more about the women and how they became queen, that's a good series.
Yeah, I also have not read it, but have heard good things about it. Mostly, yeah.
I own the first book. I own the Bone Dolls twin, but I haven't read it.
Yeah.
So, next, who would you suggest this to, and what other titles would you suggest? So, one of my first suggestions is, basically, this is more of a high fantasy, and so if you're looking, and you've read books like the Mistborn series by Brandon Sanderson, it's not an MM title, no one in it is explicitly gay, or LGBT, but his Mistborn series, one of the characters, Kelsier, in the first book, is very, very similar in attitude to Saragol, and his ward, which I forgot her name, but she basically is trained by Kelsier to be a Mistborn and how to be a Mistborn and all this stuff. And so it's very similar to Alec's situation under Saragol, where Saragol's teaching him how to be a thief, basically, for the crown. And Kelsier is that outgoing kind of roguish archetype, too. And so it's similar to me with the Mistborn series. So if you liked the Mistborn series and you read that, or you read any of Brandon Sanderson's Stormlight Archives, you'll probably like this series a lot. I actually read it in the opposite. Someone suggested Mistborn because I had read Nightrunner. So that is definitely something to check out if you like high fantasy. If you like the political intrigue, but you want the gay sex, definitely similar to things like Heir's Game or things like Captive Prince. Mm-hmm. Heir's Game is a webcomic, and Captive Prince we did a review on. It's a MM romance series that was pretty popular, and it has that political drama, the question for the crown and that kind of thing. I would say that if you like roguish characters, you're going to like those two options as well. The last one I would say is the most closest comparison to this series that I would suggest next is the Dragori series. The Dragori series is about a fantasy world that is basically at war with necromancers, and these people are the protectors of this realm are basically these half dragon people that have to then fight against the evil, like, warlocks / druids that are taking over the kingdom. And so it's high fantasy. It's very slow burn. They actually do end up having some sex scenes in that, but it takes forever to get to them. But that one is also very good. So I'd suggest the Dragori series.
Yeah. And then I guess also not an in romance series, but Tamora Pierce, one of her Tortall series, the Trickster's Choice and Trickster's Queen, has a lot of the similar, like, sort of espionage political intrigue that you sort of get in the Nightrunner series. And then I was also going to suggest Jen Hale's Rifter series, just because of the world building. That's also another MM romance book that has a lot of world building, and it's more about the fantasy adventure part of the story than necessarily the romance between the two characters. Although I think the romance features a little bit more strongly in Jen Hale's series, a lot of the motivations are, well, I don't know, I guess we could say that about the Nightrunner series too. Anyway, but yeah, so those would be my comparisons. Yeah.
Yeah, I think those are good. Especially the Rifter series. Yeah. That one's
Rifter series is great. Good. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
So with that, hopefully you'll go check out the Nightrunner series. If you do, please let me know. It's my favorite series. Just hit me up and let me know you loved it.
Oh, yeah. And then, then I guess you can let me know that other people like it.
Yeah. Because Kendra, I mean, you don't get on here very often. So the fact that you're on here, just do it for Kendra, guys.
Oh, yeah, do it for Kendra. Me. Wow.
And so with that, we're going to go ahead and sign off and hope you guys have a great rest of your year.
Yeah. Adios.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the 801 Reviewed. If you would like to learn more about us, check us out at our website at blgardendfw.com or check us out on Twitter at blgardendfw. If you love this podcast and are considering supporting us, find us on Patreon, and you can get your name on the podcast like Emily Schneider, Crystal Marie, Joey Kiss, Christina Coleman, and Barb Cult. In addition, please consider leaving a 5-star review wherever you listen. We really appreciate every last one of you. Until next time, this is your host, Izora, signing out.